This episode is a doozy. If you don't like hearing other people's opinions on the way they think, maybe this one isn't for you. Or maybe it is. But what this episode is not, is a political statement. It's just two sides of one story. Also, this episode does contain cuss words, so if you have kids listening, use your discretion.
The following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome back to The Root Note. Buckle up. I can assure you that your life is probably a lot better than what you see on social media or the news. That was something I told a friend on Facebook. The next comment was from their friend, saying I reek of white privilege. Yeah, I didn't see it coming either. Here's how it started. He was one of many people on my Facebook feed posting articles about how they hate President Trump. So I figured, I grew up with him, I played soccer with him for 13 years, why not ask him? And regardless of my political beliefs, I never felt obligated to post articles to say, this is why I hate this, or this is why I love this. So I ask, hey, I'm just curious, what's your reasoning behind posting these articles? Or something along those lines. From what I remember, there is a little bit of back and forth of answering questions, asking questions. And then he gave me links. It was like three or four links to these articles about police brutality. And he said, until you read these articles, I really don't want to have this conversation with you anymore. I said, okay. I read the articles and they were terrifying. They were written by black authors about case after case of black people getting beat up by the police or killed by the police and how they're not treated fair. So I got back to him. He is black, by the way. I said, wow, these are terrifying. But can I ask you, what kind of discrimination like this have you seen in your life? Like your immediate life, not on social media or the news, stuff like that. And here's where my comment comes in. Because I can assure you, your life is probably a lot better than what you see on social media and the news. This lady says, wow, you reek of white privilege. So, needless to say, I invited him to a private message conversation because I was curious about his viewpoint on things. I ended up asking him if he sees a lot of racism now, or at least as much as he sees on the news. And he was honest with me, and he said, no, I don't see much racism anymore. I did when I was growing up, but now that I moved away, I don't really see that as much. But I can understand his fear. When I get into something, I really get into it. And that's all I think about. It could be a song I'm working on or something around the house that we don't have money to fix. It takes over. I can understand getting immersed in something. But to him, it's those articles. It scares the shit out of him. But I won't ever truly understand that. I'm white. Come on, let's be real. I mean, I'm not going to understand his fears. He's not going to understand my fears. Even though we grew up in the same small town and played soccer together. Him and I don't agree on really anything that we talked about. Because just like everybody else, we have different viewpoints on things. We both acknowledged that towards the end and kind of laughed about it. And we both thanked each other for having this conversation. And get this. One of the last things he said was, this is the first time a conservative has ever talked to me about my views. The following clips were taken from two different news sources on the same night. I didn't set out to cherry pick any kind of clips. I recorded 10 minutes of randomly selected shows and put them together. The two shows are from MSNBC and Fox. They'll be separated by this noise.
We'll start with MSNBC.
Think of it. You're an enemy of our country. You're a general with war on your mind. You're a dictator who we hate and who's against us. And that dictator has his wife have a baby on American soil. Congratulations. Your son or daughter is now an American citizen. Does anybody think this makes sense?
No, that makes no sense at all. What the hell are you talking about? That was last night in Missouri, and that, well, can only be described as xenophobic idiocy as part of Trump's closing message of racist fear-mongering before Election Day. The president clearly considers this tactic to be an effective method of motivating Republican voters, and the people in the room sure seem to like it. But there is growing evidence that other voters, and not just committed Democrats, are increasingly turned off by Trump's behavior and rhetoric.
Just 4 days, the polls will be open. You will have the power to decide the balance of power in Washington, D.C. Remember, a vote for any Democrat in the House, that's a vote for Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Gerald Nadler, Shifty Schiff. A vote for any Democrat in the Senate, you're basically voting for Chuck Schumer. This is the reality. We'll show you all the stats to back it up tonight. It looks unusually close this midterm election, and it looks like turnout is going to be key. As per usual, Democrats have been using the politics of fear, division, to motivate their base. You've seen it with your own eyes for months, vilifying Trump, his supporters, and even the man that he appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. No lie too egregious, no exaggeration too bold, no smear too absurd. Democrats are willing to do and say anything because they want power. And we've been showing you the tapes to prove it every night.
Interesting report today highlighting a backlash coming from suburban Republicans, particularly educated, wealthier whites, especially women, who like the party's, quote, pro-business policies, but recoil from President Trump's divisive language on race and gender. Yesterday, MSNBC's own Chris Jansing spoke with some of these voters in the Republican holy ground of Orange County, California.
You both have been registered Republicans.
Yes.
Yes.
You're an independent now.
Yes.
You are?
Democrat.
What made you flip?
Trump.
What that was a big one.
Well, I was horrified by what he's like. And he doesn't seem to have respect for people. He seems to be very self-centered. So that and the fact that Republicans wouldn't stand up, that was my hope. I really thought Republicans would stand up for themselves and for our country so I wouldn't have to worry about Trump, and that has proven not to be true.
Democrats spread a message of fear and division like they do every 2 and 4 years. President Trump, a very positive message to deliver today. His agenda, it is working. The evidence is in. The economy is booming like never before. And just today, new numbers. The Labor Department announced big news, a whopping 250,000 more new jobs added in just the month of October, shattering all expectations, even in spite of a hurricane. And unemployment? Well, it's at a 49-year low, 3.7%. We now have a record number of Americans employed. And wage growth, look at this number. It is now surging past 3%. That means real money in real people's pockets for the first time since 2009.
Here to discuss the backlash to Trump's rhetoric, Democratic strategist Ayesha Moody Mills, MSNBC contributor Sam Cedar, host of the Majority Report. So the way that this gets covered in the press, every White House official will anonymously tell a reporter, like, if we're talking immigration, we're winning. We like this. We love this. This is our closing message. But there are costs to that message, it strikes me.
Yeah, the thing that we should be talking about, the fact that even though he thinks he's motivating his base, which are a small group of rabid racist people, right? What he's also doing is he's motivating the Democrats and he's motivating the independents who are not interested in this kind of hate mongering and these dog whistles and this racism. And so what I think is going to be the backlash and what's not going to pay off for them is the fact that Donald Trump is going to rile up a couple of people to come and vote for his candidates, but everyone else is coming out to vote against him, like we just saw that lady say, and that's going to absolutely play to the Democrats' favor.
All right, so this week we saw the hate Trump, destroy Trump mainstream media blatantly rooting for the Democrats to win in 4 days. In case you missed it, well, here are some of the examples.
If you want a slight check on this man and his unrelenting race to the finish here to make sure he can continue destroying this country, You might want to vote all D.
Instead of standing up to this kind of hate mongering by President Trump, Republicans are imitating it.
I know I haven't stopped praying since you were elected. Dear God, when will this end?
All right, joining us now with reaction, White House Press Secretary, the hardest job in the entire universe, Sarah Sanders is with us. Good to see you. This went from, look, there's been nonstop hate almost from the day Melania and the president came down the escalator. But this took on a whole new level this week. Racist, Nazi comparisons, just never ending. Blaming the president for the synagogue shooting, and yet the guy that shot up the synagogue and committed that act of terror, that anti-Semitic act, hated Trump because of his strong support for Israel. That's how bad things have gotten.
It's absolutely disgusting. I'm just glad to see there's no bias in the media. That's my favorite part of all the clips that you just showed, is that they constantly talk about how they're fair in their reporting. But what you just gave us was a glimpse into every day with many in the media. One of the saddest truths is that they want to blame this president for every single problem in the world, but refuse to give him any credit for all of the success that he's had. It's absolutely outrageous. And I think you just saw a great taste and a sad truth of what we deal with, unfortunately, every day.
I am heartened by the fact that in that report, the woman said, I thought the Republicans were going to act as some type of a bulwark against Trump.
Yeah.
And they clearly have not. They're clearly a part and parcel of the same. And so maybe I can understand that, but, you know, it's not like we didn't know who Donald Trump was 10 years ago, and that this stuff is particularly new and innovative from him. Maybe the idea that you can't trust Republicans because this is actually who they are, that may motivate some of those people in those suburbs.
I think the bet that he made in 2016, which bore out, and the bet they're making again is Republicans are going to come home in the end. They may not like it. They may complain. But in the end, they're going to come home to the Republican Party, and they're going to come home to Donald Trump, no matter how disgusting the rhetoric is. That's the bet they're making.
Yeah, and now we have literally blood on their hands right now. We have Donald Trump's rhetoric and all the things that he's saying, inciting violence among white supremacists. Literally, we have 11 Jewish people who are dead right now because this guy's inspired by the kind of person that Donald Trump is and the kind of people that he associates himself with. And so I think that what voters are seeing is they're saying, look, we don't want to be associated with this kind of, like, evil at this point. It's one thing when it's sport. Oh, it's political sport. Yeah. The Democrats and their health care or whatever. But now we're actually talking about a leader who is inciting violence and people are dying as a consequence of it.
For example, you watch fake news CNN and they deserve every criticism they get. It is almost every second, every minute, every hour of every day that this is all that they do is demonize the president. And it's not even it's gone beyond what we get every 2 and 4 years. Racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. Dirty air, water, kill children and throw granny over the cliff. Now it's responsible for terrorism or some nut that you know, sends bombs to innocent people.
One of the things that I found so startling, there was a poll that came out just today that showed over 60% of the country feels like the media is dividing the country, and only 17% thinks they actually do anything to help bring people together. Yet they continue to try to place the blame on the president. It is absolutely outrageous. We saw CNN, the first thing they did after the suspicious packages were mailed, it wasn't to condemn the individual. It was to go after the president. The first thing the president did was condemn the individual, go after that person. At some point, Democrats and the media have to put personal responsibility on people that are carrying out these heinous acts and doing these despicable things, yet they continue to want to try to put every single bad thing in the world on the president.
Yeah. And here's the thing, is that if tax cuts were such a big deal for the Republican base, then they'd actually be running on it. Barack Obama said that earlier today.
Yeah.
They'd actually have campaign ads talking about
but
it's not a fundamental part of their core messaging. The other thing around immigration, too, that's backfiring, especially among the women that you started this segment with, is that it was all good and fine when it was just, oh, well, we don't want people, you know, coming over our borders. But you're talking about taking children from their parents That's not sitting well with anybody. We're yanking children out of the arms of parents. Yep. We're trying to talk about people who are coming here in need and despair as if they're malicious. That's not really boding well.
All right, before we go tonight, we must address a topic that grows more serious with each passing day. Thousands upon thousands of illegal immigrants still marching toward our southern border. And while the majority of those migrants, probably 99%, have good intentions, probably want what we take for granted. They are in search of a better life for themselves and their families. There is a massive security risk at play here. Nobody can vouch for any one of these people. Department of Homeland Security is now reporting and assessing tonight that 270 people in that caravan of thousands are either known gang members or have criminal backgrounds. Now the president is vowing to turn back the caravan, saying he is willing to commit as many as 15,000 troops in order to secure our border, protect our sovereignty, respect our laws. He also told those who intend to illegally come into this country they should turn back now. They are wasting their time. By the way, our troops have already begun arriving from McAllen, Texas on Thursday. More are on the way. And tonight we're learning that a group of migrants have already filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration for violating their constitutional rights. And they're not even at the border yet. They're not citizens. And of course, the Democrats, they're not allowed to talk about this. John Podesta's group says, don't talk about it. Just switch topics. They don't want to talk about any of this. They don't want to talk about what they really believe because they support open borders, sanctuary cities, sanctuary states. Doesn't matter how much it costs you, the taxpayer.
It makes me feel like the way that I react to things may not be the way that a significant portion of the country
Sam
does.
Cedar, I think that's a thing to think.
But one likes to think that there are certain thresholds where our fellow Americans will say, like, hey, wait a second, you're going to put 12,000 troops on the border to deal with parents and kids who are walking, who are 2 months away by foot? That's absurd. There's no way that's going to garner my support. But so I think we're going to find out in a couple of days whether or not that's part of the country.
That's what's so crucial about this vote. I mean, it's a ratification of this strategy down the stretch. It's a bunch of other things in terms of who actually controls government. But in terms of what our politics look like, it's really been disgusting. There's another word for it. Yes.
I think for a lot of.
So the districts that are actually at play, in the 60 districts right now, like the swing district that are at play, those are districts where it's not North Dakota, right? So those are the districts where mothers in particular are saying, I don't even want to turn on my television because my 5-year-old is in the room and this guy is like really disgusting.
Right.
And this is not the moral compass, the moral center that I believe in. And so that's changing my dynamics. Also, in many of those districts, and what we're seeing nationally is going to play into 2020, you have people of color who are riled up.
I know.
Right now, who may not all sit in those districts, but they're looking at what's happening in Georgia around voter suppression, and they're looking at Florida and the hateful, racist robocalls that are being pushed out, all Donald Trump endorsed, and they're saying, yeah, we're going to vote in our districts based on what we're seeing.
I think that's absolutely true. Aisha Moody Mills and Sam Cedar, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Up next, a white nationalist, Steve King, running scared in Iowa with no cavalry coming in to save him. He's dusting off the old playbook to try to keep his seat in Congress. That story next.
There's no denying there are two vastly different sides of that story. Yeah, I know one was right-leaning and one was left, but I didn't know what they were going to say. And some of that was pretty shocking. But what about people that aren't in the spotlight? Are their opinions that separated? I chose these next two guests with the same reasoning, same thought process. I knew one would go left and one would go right. Didn't know what they were going to say. I sent them both the same questions. And before I interviewed either of them, I did the beginning of this episode. But so I'm transparent with you all, I did talk to them for over 2.5 hours. But what you're about to hear are the answers to the questions I sent them beforehand. That extra time that we spent talking was really just them asking me about my views. But this portion of the episode isn't about my experiences. It's about theirs. So let's hear what they had to say.
All is now being recorded.
Are you passionate about politics?
Yeah, that's a loaded question already. to be completely honest with you, no, it's great. I never paid any attention to politics. Until Trump. I don't like to even get into politics, but it's sort of, well, since 2016, you have to now, right? That's what it's all about. So I am painfully ignorant about a lot of things in politics, and I'm fully aware of that. But that doesn't change, you know, how I feel about things, my morals. And so, politically speaking, I've learned a lot in the last couple years. So, am I passionate about politics? I surely am passionate about what's going on now. Yes, every day I'm finding myself passionate about something.
I'm not really that passionate. I go vote because I think that's important. But other than that, like, I don't let it consume too much of my time. I have too much other stuff to worry about. I try to educate myself a little bit on it, and then I just kind of leave it at that. And I mostly focus on, like, local stuff as opposed to the grand scheme stuff.
The national.
Yeah, the national elections. It's like, well, I'm going to vote for this Republican or this Democrat, and that's about it. And I don't know, I feel like the national level is a lot less important and a lot easier. Because it's like, well, you're either going to vote for this person or this first person. But, like, local stuff, that's the stuff that's going to affect you personally and, like, affect the things around you. So that's the stuff where I try to figure out who's who. And I generally end up voting red anyways in those elections, too. Which is nice because I live in Tennessee.
I had trust that either way it was going to be okay. And I don't have that trust anymore. Yes, people like me, who didn't pay attention before, are paying attention, and they're learning about this stuff. And I think that's fantastic. I mean, that's, yeah. I would say that's the one thing Trump has done right, to our benefit. Yeah. Generally speaking, I think he has engaged the entire country.
Well, I guess that'll lead us into the next question. Do you support the president, and why or why not?
I do not. I did give it a try. I was completely blown away when he was elected, and I thought, all right, well, maybe everybody else is right then. Let's give it a shot. Let's see how this goes. And I think I tried to stay positive about that for about 2 weeks before I went, oh my God, our country's screwed. he is embarrassing. Okay, well, I guess since you're looking for my perspective, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I believe he's a blithering idiot and a perpetual liar. And he feeds off the ignorant and spreads this rhetoric that people that don't think just eat it up. And it's, I can't tell you how many times a day I facepalm about political stuff anymore. It's, you know, his choices in candidates and placing people in positions that are going to affect the entire country, it just astound me. Even with Kavanaugh, I don't know whether or not what the accusations, if the accusations were true or not. I don't know. It can't be proven. Whatever. That aside, the way he behaved during that confirmation hearing was, well, he didn't strike me as the kind of person that should be in that position.
Are you talking about Kavanaugh, or are you talking about Trump?
Kavanaugh, yeah, sorry. Regardless of whether he did or he didn't do what he was accused of, the way he behaved, the way he came back at people asking him questions. I mean, that was his job interview.
Yeah, that was the strangest job interview.
Right. I mean, it's just day after day stuff that just totally blows my mind. Is this reality? I mean, is this really happening?
Yeah, I support the president mainly for the fact that he's our president. So, I mean, that's kind of, you got to have to stand behind him. And no, the thing that irritates me about people complaining about the president is, like, okay, so Trump says dumb things all the time. No one's going to deny that. Trump says some pretty dumb things. He does not have a good filter for politics, which is fine by me. I don't really care about that. they're all complaining he's some racist, Nazi, wasn't white supremacist, like all these crazy arguments against him. It's like none of his policies that you see go through have anything to do with that. I mean, the last thing I think he signed in was that open it up so they can talk about prescription costs. Pharmacists can talk about like cheaper options and stuff. So, I mean, that's a good thing for everybody, is having a more openness in that. So I think the media and everything try to like blows him way out of proportion, way more farther than he needs to be. So, and he's our president. Nobody wants ill will on the country, and all the people complaining about him seem that they just want him to tank the country. And it's like, well, why? Like, why do you, that seems more hateful than the hate you're trying to accuse him of. It's like, oh yeah, I hope he just destroys everything. Like, oh, you voted for Trump, you must hate people, and like, you must have all these biased opinions against race and sex and creed and all that. Like, no, like, not at all. Like, I mainly voted for Trump because I didn't want Hillary. Hillary is the worst thing that could happen to me because she pushes huge gun regulations that wouldn't do anything except affect law-abiding citizens.
Why is your party right and the right way to go?
I just don't, I don't like the label at all. I don't think that it is in even the country's best interest anymore to be labeled Republican or Democrat. I mean, why? And I'm sure this goes back to my ignorance of history, but why is that necessary? Why can't we look at issues on their own individual merits?
People always complain about hate, and all I see is hate coming from the left side. That's all I see. The left side complaining about this, complaining about that. Hate, 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 hate. That's all they talk about. And they seem to be the more hateful side than the Republican side. Republicans want to focus on getting the economy fixed and free market, which I'm a big proponent of free market. Free market takes care of things. And a big example that I always think about is where the difference between the way Democrats try to do things and the way Republicans try to do things is that guy in Oregon, because I'm originally from Oregon, so that guy in Oregon that wouldn't sell the cake to the gay people that wanted to get married. And that turned into this huge fight over a bunch of things that wasn't what that situation was about, in my opinion. Because, like, personally, like, I don't care. Well, that's a whole nother topic, because when it comes to marriage, I think marriage is a religious institution, and, like, I'm married to my wife, like, through our church and through God kind of thing. And I don't think the government should even be involved in marriage. So when people ask me, like, do you think gays should be married or should be allowed to get married? It's like, well, I don't think anybody needs to be allowed to be married because I don't think the government needs to be involved in that. Like, that's a personal thing. When it comes to, so free market takes care of the whole gay cake issue. What?
I was taking a drink and I had to, never heard it put like that. Sorry.
So the free market would take care of that, because if that guy doesn't want to sell you a gay cake, why do you want to buy his hate? Like, or if he doesn't want to sell you that cake, why do you want to force him to sell you his hate cake? Like, at that point, like, go to another baker and give him his business, and the people will choose what they want through that. Like, and I don't like how they're like, no, we have to force him to sell that cake. And it's like, the Democrat side seems to be about forcing people to do things. It's like, I don't really think people need to be forced to do anything. As the example, like, the big difference between the left and the right side is the left side's always trying to force everybody to do something and then calling you names if you don't. They're like, oh, you don't want to force him to sell a cake, you hate gays. It's like, that's not it at all. Like, you shouldn't force people to do things. Like, I personally don't care what people do with their life. And so, cause that's their choice. And, but I don't think it's my right to impede on people's choices. And the left seems to want to just force everybody to, well, this is what you have to do or else you hate everyone. It's like, that's not true at all.
What are you looking for? Like, as far as like the topics, there's always some like big talking points that candidates talk about on their campaign, and like, what are some of those for you?
For local stuff, I just want to make sure, I want the smallest government person possible, the person that's not going to interfere in people's day-to-day lives and more focused on just making sure the city runs smooth and everything's going how it should. But I don't want the people that's going to be interjecting, like, how we should think. And small government, basically, locally. And then for the national stuff, because I'm a firearms instructor, I'm pretty biased towards guns as far as, like, being pro-gun. And so, because I like my job. And so, on the national level, that's pretty much the big one for me is, like, well, what's this person's views on gun rights and the Second Amendment? What are they going to do so I can keep doing what I'm doing? And I don't know, it's kind of a little biased, but there's so many things that people argue about on the national level that doesn't really seem that all important to the grand scheme of things. So my non-important thing to the grand scheme of things is probably the gun rights thing.
You know, the biggest issue for me is just equality. The fundamental basis is that we're all human. Gender doesn't matter. Skin color doesn't matter. Religion doesn't matter. We're all human at our core. We all have hearts and brains and emotions and needs. And so, regardless of what the issue is, I don't want anything to hurt anybody. Gosh, this is a tough question.
Well,
you know, I mean, I don't have a specific issue.
You live in Denver, correct?
Right.
You guys voted for legal marijuana. Was that a big issue for you?
My perspective on that was, I knew that was going to generate a lot of money, and I was really hoping that we'd be able to put it toward our schools.
And from what I heard or saw, you guys killed it, and you put a lot of money towards your schools, right?
No, they're not allowed to, from what I understand.
Oh, really?
Because federally, it's not legal. And so the school system can't utilize that money. So there's millions, probably billions of dollars that just can't be used. I mean, you can't even deposit profit from that business in a bank. You can't have a bank account because it's federal.
I had no idea.
Oh, it's so maddening to me. So there's all this money. Okay, well, we can't use it for this. I mean, can we use it to help other countries then? I mean, I don't know, but it's ridiculous. And as far as I know, that hasn't been resolved. But no, you know, I think teachers deserve a hell of a lot more than they get salary-wise. I mean, geez Louise, those people have to be with my kids all day long. Bless them. You know, I don't know how teachers do it. And then they're spending, you know, having to spend their own money for things for the classroom. Then there's just all this money just sitting there because federally someone doesn't agree with it. I mean, it's going to be out there anyway. Why? We should use that to our benefit.
The problem that I have with drawing, like, definitive left and right lines is there's things on both sides that, like, I'm kind of for and kind of against. And, like, the big one, like, I don't care if people smoke pot. It's no different from alcohol to me. And that seems to be a Democrat left-wing thing. And the seems to be on the right side. They've all been, like, they're the big pusher on the war on drugs, which has been an absolute failure, in my opinion. And there needs to be, we need to go about the war on drugs in a much different way than just throwing people in jail. And that seems to be a more left-leaning idea than a right-leaning idea. So it's just simple things like that. And those, to me, are social issues and not really political issues. And they like to throw in social issues to divide everybody up than stick to, like, because to me, big government's job is to, like, regulate the economy and foreign interests, and then everything internal to me should be state-run and limited government, but that's my more conservative side.
Have you ever been embarrassed by what a party leader has said or done?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I am embarrassed every time I see a Donald Trump tweet, for one thing, but Trump in particular embarrasses me every time he opens his mouth, and it's because the things that come out, if he can make a coherent sentence, often just display the fact that he doesn't know what's going on a lot of the time. And the lies, I guess that's not so much embarrassment as infuriating, but yes, I would say on just about a daily basis, I am embarrassed by Trump. The entire world is making fun of our country and our president right now. And I don't blame them one bit. So, yeah, it saddens me and it embarrasses me. And it worries me that we're losing a lot of credibility every day, the longer this goes on.
Not personally, just because I don't take those things personal. Like, I'm not big into identity politics. Like, my identity is not wrapped up in my political views. As far as, like, if you disagree with my opinions, then I take that as a personal slight against me. Like, everyone's entitled to their own opinions. However, I do get embarrassed for politicians when they start trying to talk about guns, and that's on either side. Because then they just start talking about random things that don't make sense, and like calling the AR stands for assault rifle, and just things like that where it's like, well, these people clearly aren't educated and don't know what they're talking about. And so I do get embarrassed by listening to them, even on the Republican side where they're trying to defend like my views. They'll start talking about guns, and it's like, I just want to roll my eyes and be like, man, you guys are missing the point of all of this. I mean, as far as personal embarrassment, not really, because I try to keep my personal identity and my politics separate.
What kind of hate have you seen from the opposing side?
Well, I would say there's often hate, particularly toward transgender community, LGBTQ community, religious issues. It just seems to be everywhere, frequently on social media, obviously. I try to avoid that really more than anything now. I've overheard conversations just, you know, in public, general places, restaurants, things like that, you know, trying to take away same-sex marriage. Don't understand that one bit. I mean, who cares? I again, I'm trying to keep an open mind, but I'm pro-love, so if you want to love someone that has the same genitals, then more power to you. You know, it makes no difference to me, and I don't understand why that has to be frowned upon. And it's not a religious thing. It's not in the Bible. I don't know. It's just intolerance of anyone who shares different views.
Have you seen any hate from others? The other side?
That seems to be all that the left is about right now, even though they're the ones trying to promote peace and like, oh, let's all get along. It's like, but they're, when things happen, they're the ones that are downtown smashing their businesses and rioting and telling people to punch Nazis. And like, we can all agree, everyone can agree, yes, it's okay to punch a Nazi. However, the problem with saying like, let's go punch Nazis is now I can just label anybody a Nazi and feel okay punching them.
What news source do you like, if any?
I don't watch the news because I don't believe any of it. So when things come up, I do the best I can to try to get to the bottom of it and figure out what's maybe true or not. But I don't have time to do that most of the time. So full disclosure and shameless plug, hopefully that I can do this, but I have been listening to the podcast Mueller, She Wrote. The host, AG, she goes by an alias because she actually works in the executive branch of the government currently, and because of the Hatch Act, she can't say her name. And then her two co-hosts, Jalissa and Jordan, they're all comedians, and they're funny as hell. I mean, it's easy for me to say because I tend to agree with just about everything they say. But I think even if you didn't, they're funny. But that's where I get a lot of my current information anymore, because I don't have time to vet the news, and I don't have a source that I trust at all. So she works in the government, and I haven't caught all the way up yet, but I've been listening back from the beginning. They've been doing this for a little over a year, or a year and a half now. So they start with the actual news, like the facts, and then the majority of the podcast is conjecture. But almost everything has come to fruition. So I highly recommend it. If nothing else, it's entertaining, but it might be enlightening as well.
I don't really watch a whole lot of cable news, to be honest, because they're all ran by advertising, and it's all completely biased, and obviously I'm going to push more towards the right than the left, but I'm going to hear, if I go turn on Fox News, you're going to hear right-wing news, and if you turn on MSNBC, you're going to hear left-wing news, that kind of thing. So, like, you kind of already know what you're going to get when you turn on those stations. So, like, I like Reddit, and Reddit's a big problem because it's a big echo chamber for certain things, like people just all agreeing with each other. If you don't agree, you get down. I don't know if you ever get on Reddit, but they'll just downvote you in Bolivian. But there's so many different subreddits on Reddit, and, like, actually, something that I found interesting is to look at American news through non-American sources. Like, BBC kind of pushes to the left sometimes, but, like, not just BBC, but all the out-of-country, when they do reports on things in America, that's where I get kind of interested in it, because, like, their views are completely different on how everything is going. So, I don't know, I read a lot online and try to get, and I just don't read one source, because you're going to get multiple views from different people, so I just kind of try to read and listen to different things. But I mean, there's people that I like to listen to, because I do like Ben Shapiro. That guy's awesome. Like, he kind of just says it how it is, and, like, there's obviously some things that I disagree with him, and I'm not going to agree with everyone on everything, but, like, Ben Shapiro, right, I seem to enjoy listening to, and Gavin McInnes. Those guys are definitely right-wing leaning personalities, but I like listening to their stuff. But then, like, I like listening to Joe Rogan and the people that he gets on, because they'll talk about subjects and topics going on. And Joe Rogan gets people on the left and the right side and just discusses and then tries to go into depth on their views and stuff. So I like to listen to podcasts and things like that, try to get this information from a variety of sides and sources. So when you watch news on the TV, it's always about, oh, this person got murdered, and this terrible thing is going on, and this terrible thing is going on, because that's what intrigues people and gets them paying attention. And I think if you watch too much news, if you watch too much news on TV, you feel like the world is a much worse place than it actually is. Like, oh, people are getting murdered on the corner every day. It's like, not really. Right now we live in the safest, most horrible time in human history. And if you read the news, it's like, oh, America's more racist than it's ever been. It's like, what? It's never been better than now. And people are out there on the streets screaming and yelling and acting like it's the worst thing ever. Like, oh, it's way more racist now than it's ever been. And it's like, really? Like, I don't see people fire hosing people in the corners like the images from the 50s. On a day-to-day basis, interacting with normal human beings that aren't politicians, like, is a lot different than the stuff you see on the news and on TV, and when you see, like, these politicians getting up and talking in front of everybody. I think this is the growing pains of the information age. That's what I think is going on right now, is everybody has the sum of human knowledge in their pocket, and no one knows what to do with it. We can all agree that 2017, 2018 is a pretty weird time, like, things have changed dramatically and are getting really crazy as far as, like, people freaking out, but I think it's because of access to information and people not having the ability to digest it and like separate it all out and take it all in. I think it's information overload on the society level.
I don't think anyone should feel scared to share their feelings or their point of view or their perspective on something. And that's it really saddens me to hear that. Because I have asked people who have supported Trump and some of his policies and things, like, just explain it to me because this seems horrible to me. Where are you coming from? What am I not seeing? And it always ends up, I get called names and screamed at and sworn at, and I'm like, that didn't help your cause.
Now people's identities are wrapped up in it, I think. And that's because it's just too much information and nobody knows what to do with it. And now nobody can distinguish. No one's bullshit radar works anymore. Like, it blows my mind how much stuff gets shared on Facebook. And I'm like, what? Like, I call shenanigans. I call shenanigans on everything I see on Facebook. Because it's never real. It's like, no, that doesn't sound right. It seems like most people should be able to see a headline or see something. Like, I don't understand how clickbait works. Clickbait, I do not understand how that tricks people into clicking their article. Because their bullshit meter should be going off. You should see those things and be like, huh, that doesn't sound right. Because if it doesn't sound right, it probably isn't. I don't know. A part of me thinks maybe it's just people are a lot more optimistic than I think. Like, maybe people are optimistic and they just hope they believe everything they see. Maybe it's just pure optimism that I'm dismissing.
Oh, anymore, I'm not sure what people want. Because it does seem like white supremacists and hate crimes have just gone out of control. And I'm sure some of it is that the focus has shifted a bit. Certainly those things always existed. But it does seem way more pronounced than it used to be. And I would like to see that condemned by the president. And instead, it almost seems supported. I see it more coming from right-leaning people, for the most part. But that's probably because I tend to take a left-leaning stance, for the most part. And again, I'm not necessarily one or the other, but it certainly comes from both sides and from all colors and all religions. I mean, it happens because everybody's a human. People have different perspectives, but if we could all just be a little open-minded with each other, I think that's really all it takes.
I disagree with my wife almost every single day. I love her. I'm still with her. I get past it. We get past it. We actually disagree on most of these topics discussed today. We all have our own beliefs. But I know for me, I hate being lectured. I hate being told what to do, and especially told what to believe. You can choose your own form of media, your own source of information. Nobody's stopping you. But if somebody asks you why you're right, be prepared to answer it. But I think that's the easy part. The hard part is when so many people say you're wrong. And now, this is Speaking Up For Me.
I don't feel your way, you don't feel my way, but I know that's okay. 'Cause I won't change your mind, you won't change my mind, but I know we want the same. Cause what you see as hate in years of steps back, I only see a future for us all. And what I see as blame and blatant disrespect, you see hope in a never-ending fall. I know it's no illusion, but it's very hard to see when your side and my side keep speaking of me. I don't need your love, and you don't need my love, but both of us, yeah, we need to say, brother, what you see as hate in years of steps back, you know I only see a future for us all. And what I see as blame and blatant disrespect, you see hope in a never-ending fall. Yeah, I know it's no illusion, but it's very hard to see when your side and my side keep speaking up for me. Yeah, we both don't want our past make a future enemies. So that's why, from both sides, I'm speaking up for me. I don't feel your way, you don't feel my way, but I know that's okay.
Root Note has been brought to you by Put Them in a Song, in collaboration with MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.